morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up stories from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. I'm Nikki Ouellette, filling in for Jess Sheldahl. Today is Thursday, February 6th. Today we've got stories on how Montanans are feeling following President Donald Trump's acquittal, a proposal for expanded wolf hunting and trapping in the northwest corner of the state, and what industry and educators are doing to address worker shortages in the greater Bozeman area. As news of President Donald Trump's acquittal broke yesterday, Montanans embraced two polar realities, delight or disappointment. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Olivia Reingold headed to a Billings grocery store to see that divide unfold in real time.
Hi, I'm sorry to ambush you. I'm wondering if I could talk to you about everyone's favorite subject, the impeachment trial.
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. And so how do you feel about Trump's acquittal?
I think it's wrong. He should have, you know, I'm a staunch Republican, and he should have been paid for his, you know, his what he did wrong.
I'm wondering if I could talk to you about impeachment.
Sure.
Okay. My first question is, how closely were you following the trial?
Very closely.
Tell me about that. Why did it interest you?
Well, it's a pretty big event. Happened twice before in our nation's history, and there's a lot at stake.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
We'll tell you. Full disclosure, I support Donald Trump 100% and am very excited to vote for him again in November. I was a marginal Trump supporter in 2016, but I guess I am what you'd consider an energized base for Donald Trump.
They just didn't give him a chance to be a president and show what he can do. That's it.
Of course. Of course he was acquitted.
Hi. Excuse me. I'm sorry to scare you.
Yeah. Well, no big surprise. So, I mean, we knew it was coming. So nothing unexpected, and just way, you know, went the way I thought it would go.
But how did it strike you? Did you feel disappointed? Did you feel excited, or just?
I didn't feel disappointed because I knew it was coming. So yeah, I wished it hadn't gone that way, but I knew it was coming. So I mean, it's so partisan; everybody votes their party. And so when you have a majority, you know, in the Senate like that, we knew that, you know, that they would win their side of the vote.
How does the fact that it is an election year factor into your thoughts about impeachment?
You know, there's definitely two trains of thought. I'm pretty evenly divided because, in a way, if he had been removed from office, I think it would have increased the partisanship and the division. The Republican side, conservative side would have, it'd be a martyr is what it'd be. That wouldn't have been good either. So I guess this is just fine. We'll see what happens in November.
That was Dirk Moeller, Darren Zent, Jesse Middleton, Eric Rizdahl, and Jerry Kiltz in that order. Montana's U.S. senators split their votes along party lines, as expected, on the two articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. Republican Daines voted to acquit. In a statement, he said impeachment would have meant ignoring Montanans who voted for Trump in the last election and silencing those who plan to vote for him later this year. Daines is also up for re-election. Democrat Tester voted to convict. Ahead of the vote, Tester said he believes President Trump abused his power by withholding military aid from an ally for personal political gain, and that he obstructed legitimate oversight by a co-equal branch of government. The Speaker of the Montana House is conceding the legislature will likely do nothing to sanction a state representative for his comments about socialism. This after the lawmaker refused calls to resign over his assertion that the U.S. Constitution allows for socialists to be jailed or shot. House leaders asked Republican Representative Rodney Garcia of Billings to resign following comments he made at a Republican gathering in Helena last Friday. House Speaker Greg Hertz says it's not practical to call a special session that could cost up to $50,000 to sanction Garcia. Garcia is not serving on any interim committees he could be removed from. A Montana legislator is accusing a fellow Democrat of being ineligible for the office of state attorney general, alleging he hasn't practiced law in the state for long enough. A two-way Democratic primary race is underway for the job between Missoula State Representative Kimberly Dudick and Governor's Office Chief Legal Counsel Rafe Graybill. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
The complaint filed with the Montana Commissioner of Political Practices alleges Rafe Graybill does not meet the Montana Constitution's requirement to run for state attorney general. Graybill's campaign says he plainly meets those requirements and the complaint is politically motivated. The Montana Constitution says a person is eligible for the office if they're an attorney in good standing admitted to practice law in the state who, quote, has engaged in the active practice thereof for at least 5 years before election, unquote. The complaint comes from Dave Wanzenreed. He served 18 years in the Montana legislature between the House and Senate. He lives in Yellowstone County and is a fundraiser for Dudick's campaign for attorney general.
I have not talked to her about the complaint. Last fall, my wife and I had a fundraiser for her, and after people had left, we were sort of talking through whether or not he met the qualifications.
Graybill says he was admitted to the Montana Bar in 2015. He says his time with a Seattle law firm and his work as a federal law clerk for the United States Court of Appeals count toward the constitutional requirement, which Wanzenreed's complaint argues does not. The Graybill campaign calls the complaint, quote, the worst of whisper campaign politics, unquote. Dudick told Montana Public Radio she hasn't read the complaint, but, quote, there are questions that need to be answered, unquote. Dudick says the complaint can't have a political motive because she didn't file it. Jeff Mangan, Commissioner of Political Practices, is asking both parties to file additional arguments by the end of the week. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
The National Transportation Safety Board has released an initial report that provides details but not the cause of a recent Montana airplane crash that killed 4 men. The Billings Gazette reports the agency is expected to release a second report within 18 months, detailing the January 11th crash between Billings and Roundup. The report says no fire and no explosion occurred as a result of the crash near Dunn Mountain. The report says the Cessna 182 airplane was on a recreational flight. It hit a wire and radio tower. State wildlife managers in the northwest corner of Montana want to lengthen the general hunting and trapping seasons for wolves and double the individual limit a hunter can kill. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Under the new proposal from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 1, the general wolf hunting season would extend by a month and a half. Wolf trapping would be 15 days longer, and the individual harvest limit would move from 5 to 10 wolves. Region 1 is also asking the commission to extend public comment on the specific proposal through March 16th. FWP's various regions usually submit proposals on hunting season dates and regulations to the State Wildlife Commission every December. FWP Region 1 spokesperson Dylan Tabish says the agency received immense interest in extending the seasons during public meetings on the proposals it originally submitted to the commission late last year.
And biologically, we have the wolf population here in northwest Montana to sustain additional harvest opportunity. And we wanted to be responsive to our public input and those who participated in that public process.
However, there is opposition to the idea. Some environmental groups are specifically concerned about extending trapping and its impact on other species, such as grizzly bears leaving their dens early. Mark Cook with the Stevensville advocacy group Wolves of the Rockies has a harsher view.
I understand what's going on. Montana doesn't want wolves. They can't manage wolves properly, and they just want to hammer that number to the lowest possible denominator without triggering a review by the Endangered Species Act.
Currently, FWP estimates there are 800 wolves statewide, with the highest density in Region 1, though Cook takes issue with how that estimate is made. Wolf populations in the state peaked in 2013 with about 1,100. The State Wildlife Commission will meet on February 13th. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Coal mining in the top U.S. coal-producing region was down sharply at the end of last year compared to the year before. Production in the Powder River Basin in northeastern Wyoming and southeastern Montana fell nearly 14% in the last quarter compared to the same time period in 2018. U.S. government data released Monday show that volumes of the three-month period were the lowest in over two decades amid ongoing competition from inexpensive natural gas, which has become utilities' choice of fuel to generate electricity. The weak quarter capped a tumultuous year of bankruptcies, mine shutdowns, and merger proposals among companies operating in the basin. A whitefish broker was convicted in federal court Tuesday for his role in a multi-million dollar scheme involving a fake Swiss investment company. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
A federal jury found Sean Finn of Whitefish guilty on multiple counts of wire and securities fraud. Federal prosecutors and authorities with the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI say Finn participated in the scheme that used fake bank statements and other documents to encourage investors to make upfront payments to a Swiss company called Malome to gain access to non-existent investment opportunities. Authorities say those payments ranged from $100,000 to $1 million. Authorities say Finn and others stole up to $4 million from would-be investors. Finn was initially indicted in 2013, but fled to Canada, where he was arrested in 2014. He was extradited back to the U.S. for trial in 2018. He was convicted in the U.S. District Court in Nevada. Finn is the fourth defendant to be convicted or plead guilty in the case. Two defendants remain at large. Finn is due to be sentenced in May. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Many Montana companies are struggling to find suitable workers to fill job openings. Researchers and industry experts at a seminar in Bozeman yesterday say there aren't enough skilled applicants, but educators say they see opportunities in the form of apprenticeships. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
Patrick Barkey, research director with the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, says the labor shortage in Montana will likely become more pronounced as baby boomers retire.
The most dramatic thing you're going to see in the workforce in the coming years, and we're already seeing it, is every workforce in America and Montana is going to have a higher fraction of older workers.
But he says there's more going on than just a demographic shift.
It has to do with skills. And it has to do with the way the economy has evolved.
Over a quarter of Montana's manufacturing companies said they had worker shortages last year in a BBER study. The biggest factor, not enough qualified applicants. During a panel discussion, Tom Alexander with Northwestern Energy says the utility industry is facing a similar challenge. He says part of it has to do with competitive salaries in other states.
One of the things that we have seen recently right here in Gallatin County is a number of linemen, not only here, but in other towns, heading to California with all the fires. They are paying those folks between $300,000 and $400,000 a year.
In comparison, Northwestern is currently offering roughly $94,000 for a journeyman lineman position in Bozeman. Alexander said it took a year to fill a similar position in the micropolitan area. He says the lack of affordable housing also deters some qualified candidates. Another issue is perception and stigma.
You know, people don't look at linemen really as a career, so we don't talk about it in the schools. And so we're trying to get back into the schools and the junior highs to have conversations about careers and utilities.
Stephanie Gray, dean of Gallatin College MSU, says several of the high schools in the county are looking to develop apprenticeships with utility and manufacturing companies.
It's important for a high school student to have a quality, hands-on experience to maintain their interest in these jobs.
She says Gallatin College has developed more one-year programs over the last decade to help people enter the job market more quickly.
If we can help them learn how to problem solve and figure out how to fix something, then they can go into these jobs and at least have the foundational experience and a little bit of confidence so they can continue to grow and develop while they're on the job.
BBER recently held seminars addressing regional economies in Helena, Great Falls, Missoula, and Billings. The next summits are in Butte, Kalispell, Havre, Lewistown, and Big Sky. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on news of the day. I'm Nikki Ouellette, filling in for Jess Sheldahl. Thanks for listening.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.